MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Now, a court-ordered pause on the implementation of the National Health Insurance Act has effectively, as far as I understand it, frozen government's rollout plans after the president undertook not to proclaim any provisions and the Minister of Health then agreeing to halt implementation pending constitutional court hearings in May. Now, supporters say this creates space for meaningful reform, but critics are arguing the act in its current form risks destabilizing the healthcare system. It's an important issue, and I'm going to talk now to the Chief Executive Officer of the Health Funders Association, Thanesha Naidu. A very warm welcome to you. Let me start simply then. Does this pause fundamentally change the trajectory of NHI, or is it just delaying the inevitable?
I'm very optimistic. I believe, you know, this pause has come about to reflect and engage, and you know, it's a positive move, I see. You know, this came forward from the president and the minister, one, to not proclaim the act, and two, not to implement the act. And, you know, we've been in court because we've said the act is unworkable, financially not sound, and will create, you know, havoc. Now, during this pause, what we would like to do and is reset this framework. Let us sit around the table. Let us focus on what are the opportunities, you know, we can collectively as public and private work on enhancing healthcare for all 63 million South Africans. And why we welcome.
Let me pick you up on resetting the framework, if I can. As far as I understand it, your association supports universal health coverage, but as you've suggested, opposes the current model. Just remind me again quickly, what in the Act makes it, in your words, irrational or unworkable?
Sure. So, you know, as the first point of call, but not the only one, it's financially impossible to achieve. It would mean, basically, you know, that members would have to increase currently what they're currently paying in taxes. And it would require, you know, our current bill going from just almost to a billion rand. It's basically impossible. So that's financially. Secondly, it says that, you know, what is then prescribed or offered from NHI can no longer be offered by medical schemes. So you're actually taking away access, you know, from it. And without, firstly, and then the third thing is about actual capabilities. You know, for NHI to be able to do what it needs to do and equivalent to medical schemes, you need to triple the number of doctors. You need to triple, you know, number of healthcare resources. And we simply are not on that trajectory. So we are literally setting ourselves up for failure because none of the planning, none of the, you know, implementation, infrastructure, systems is there. So what we are about is we are for universal health coverage. We want equity in the country, but the trajectory this is going to destroy healthcare for all of us.
In fact, Thanesha, you go further than that. You also say the act, and I quote, would undermine and collapse the healthcare system as it exists right now. That's strong language. What's the single biggest systemic risk then that you see?
So one, I think, you know, I don't want to say it's one, but I think, you know, it is financials. We simply cannot afford this. You know, and then two, the consequences of that is the healthcare professionals simply are mobile. We are in so much of demand globally, and we will see all the nurses, the doctors, you know, literally emigrate out of here, further collapsing the system. So, you know, I think those are probably, you know, two key things that we see as an issue.
On the flip side, your critics say that private funders are simply protecting commercial interests. So how do you convince us that this is about sustainability and preservation and not just about profit?
Yeah. So firstly, you know, medical schemes are not-for-profit organizations, right? And we are actually owned by members. Now, the whole intention is not about protecting, you know, the private sector. It is about equity. And we want to make sure that healthcare, you know, as constitutional rights, is actually accessible by everyone. It is not protecting interests. And then, quite importantly, you know, there's a misnomer that medical schemes is all about the elite. when we know that up to 88% of people in medical schemes actually earn less than 40,000 Rand, and in fact, 40% earn less than 16,000 Rand. So these are your teachers, your nurses, you know, your working middle class, the engine of South Africa, who actually carry, you know, the burden, financial burden. There's about 7 million taxpayers. A large portion of that are medical scheme members who fund the taxes for South Africa. So it is not a case of protecting, you know, private interests. It's the interest is protecting health in South Africa and protecting the country.
Let me come back at you and say that you present a very eloquent argument, but I would contend that the vast swathe of South Africans have no access at all to private healthcare and funding.
So I think firstly, you know, there's a misnomer. We believe that only 9 million South Africans who belong to medical schemes access it. But our studies, you know, there are a number of studies that actually say that up to 40% of South Africans access private healthcare. Now, the problem or challenge is many of the South Africans do so out of cash. And we actually have put on the table an alternative solution for what we call primary healthcare. And, you know, at 400 Rand per month, you can get GPs access to private primary healthcare. So we put solutions on the table and we continue to put that increases access. What we do need, and hopefully in this reset, government can look at the issues and the policies and start unblocking those. So then we can collaborate around making a system, because once we enable this efficiency system, the public sector, which is so much under a strain, those can be unblocked to make sure the vulnerable who can't afford it can get the right access, the right quality, without queuing, etc.
All right. If this pause, then, as you've told me, is a window for collaboration, are there or is there a measurable compromise that you're prepared to make to meet government halfway?
You know, I think, firstly, the legal route we've taken has always been our last resort. And to be honest, if we go down the legal route, in 5 years, the biggest losers will be South Africans. So we will always be willing to sit at the table to negotiate, to engage and say, you know, we want to make this country work. Here are solutions. We've got a private healthcare system that is world class, probably top five. We have the skills, the knowledge, the IT. We are willing to, you know, roll up our sleeves and help make public sector, you know, bring up the standards. So definitely, without a doubt, you know, we are willing to be at the table to negotiate.
And you need to give me a quick answer. The Constitutional Court challenge, as I understand it, focuses on public participation, not substance. If the court then rules that Parliament followed proper process, would you be prepared to accept the act as it is?
No. So once that is accepted, that is all good, then we will continue possibly with our case moving forward regarding the substance of the act, because the substance of the act is still unconstitutional.
Dinesh Naidoo, thank you very much indeed. Chief Executive Officer, the Health Funders Association.